Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew and chapter 7. Matthew and chapter 7, I want to read by way of introduction, three verses you're very familiar with. In fact, the last several verses you're going to be familiar with, but it's just introduction, and I'm going to end the message where I'm starting here this morning. Let's all stand together again. One more time. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Stop right there. You're here this morning. You're not born again. I want you to know there's nothing, you're not going to get to heaven by accident or by merit. There is nothing you can accomplish in this world to gain entrance to heaven. You're not going to stumble into the gates of heaven. It's all of grace and it's all of mercy. And there must be a time when you choose Christ, repentant of your sin. A hard thing. I'll mention that at the end of the service this morning. Verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Lest you misunderstand, that rock is Jesus. Verse 26 says, and everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. A lot of structures being built today on the sand. There's a lot of lives being built on the shifting sands of time. And the rain descended. They'll come. And the floods came. And the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, that people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. He spoke with the truth, with absolutes, so that people could understand. That was different than what they were used to hearing. Man, I love that kind of preaching. It was said of the Apostle Paul, he spoke with great plainness of speech. It's good that we understand the Word of God. Let me pray real quick. Father, bless this message this morning to our hearts and to our lives. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to preach this morning. Is my microphone going on and off? Okay. I want to preach this morning on four secrets that Jesus revealed in the Sermon on the Mount. The Beatitudes. The Sermon on the Mount is a wonderful passage of Scripture. It is greatly blessed of God. It covers three chapters, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. There are 1,200 words, 111 verses. He preached it while he was on a mountain. He shared with them great truths concerning righteousness and compassion and justice. There were 8 blessings in this message. And 4 woes. Go back to chapter 5 and just verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. That's why we refer to this as the Sermon on the Mountain. The Sermon on the Mount. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. Now, this is real mountain preaching. You ever hear a preacher say, man, I love that mountain preaching. It's a style that comes from the Southeast, and it didn't originate in the Southeast. It originates at the throne of God. It's a man of God that gets the Holy Spirit all over him because he is surrendered to the Holy Spirit of God, and he opens the Bible, the blessed book, and he preaches. He imparts to the listeners the Word of God with plain words that people can understand. Jesus Jesus covers a lot in this passage of Scripture. He says in verse 10, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." He said, now listen, fellas. He's on the mountain. He's preaching to his disciples. I would love to have heard Jesus preach. It says they were astonished at his doctrine. So not only was he deep, it wasn't boring. And you talk about, he is the epitome of anointed preaching. I believe he spoke, the Bible tells us in the last couple of verses, with great authority. While he was preaching, people were listening. They were fixed upon him. Man, he spoke literally with the power of God. And the very power of God and the very word of God was right there in their midst. And it says here, Jesus said, "When men persecute you for doing the things that I say," in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. "When they persecute you, you're in good company. For they so persecuted the prophets that were before you." And they persecuted Jesus as well. That's a badge of honor. Some of our young people running track over there with Pickford, and one of the young girls said, "Yeah, they refer to us as the church kids." And I echoed exactly what the teacher in the classroom said. We basically said at the same time, you wear that as a badge. You wear that as a flag. You lift. Don't you blush at the name of Jesus. In fact, don't you let them think it's all about church. Make sure they know it's all about Jesus and your love for him. It says here in verse 13, "Ye are the salt of the earth." Now, here's what's going to happen this morning in the 20 minutes or so that's left. I'm going to share with you what Jesus preached about the four secrets of living a dynamic New Testament Christian life. And up to this point, it's been introduction. Men are gonna persecute you. They're not gonna speak well of you if you stand for God. Jesus warned us of that. And then he said, "Be bold." It says in verse 13, "You're the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing." I don't want to be a good for nothing Christian, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. He says this: "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick." That's the purpose of the candle. "And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Charles Spurgeon said this about this passage of Scripture: "The church of Jesus Christ is not called to be a village in the valley. We are called to be a city that is set on a hill. We're to be visible and shine for anybody that is searching for the truth. They'll know where to come." I handed a tract out to a lady this last week, and after I got all done presenting the gospel and gave her the tract, she looked at it and said, "Is this that church on M80 out there in Kid Ross?" I said, "Yes, that's the one." She said, "I heard of this church." And that's part of testifying for the glory of God. We need to be a city that is set on a hill. I'm going to come back to that and just going to spend a moment on it, but I want to give you these four secrets to dynamic Christianity as quickly as I can. Go on over to chapter 6. Chapter 6. Christ, I'll summarize these four secrets right now. Christ condemns empty, heartless, external, ritualistic religion. Amen. That's right. Christ condemns it. He said four times, the secret is the heart. The secret is a real walk. God isn't looking for spiritual zombies walking around the world. What am I doing? Oh, it's 11 o'clock. It's almost time to go to church. You know, you just got to, and you're dead to the things of God. And you go through a few rituals and sing a few hymns. Man, that's not where it's at. What that old guy in the commercial used to say? "I got to make the donuts. I got to make the donuts." You know. Do you remember that commercial? Any of you remember that? All right, yeah. That's where people are spiritually. It's like, well, now it's time to go to church. That's not it. We love him because he first loved us. We ought to be a New Testament, blood-bought, saved people that are in love with Jesus Christ because he's already loved us. And he's already done everything we need. It's got to be a hard thing. In chapter 5, we'll not read it. He said, "Listen, if you, some people, you, it is said in times of old," he's talking about the law, that if you kill somebody, you're guilty of murder and God will hold you accountable. Jesus said, it's far more than that. If you hate your brother with your heart, then you've already committed murder. He says also, if you've read in time of old, that if you commit adultery with a woman, then you're guilty of the sin of adultery and you'll be held accountable. And Jesus said, no. It's more than just the external. It's the heart. If you lust after a woman, if you look upon her and lust after her, you've already committed adultery. God help the young ladies and God help the older ladies that don't know what modesty is. And God help the young men and the older men and the middle-aged men whose hormones are still raging. You don't understand what's going on in the culture. There's some, a lot of people do understand, and that's why they're doing it. So you got to protect your eyes as a man. Jesus said, it's the heart. That's one thing, the actual act, the externals, but I want the heart. You know what? God is looking down from heaven this morning and he's saying to the people of Fundamental Baptist Church, I want your heart. If he gets our heart, he's got everything else. Amen. Go to Matthew chapter 6 now. Matthew and chapter 6. Take heed that you do your alms, your charitable giving before men, that you do not your alms your before men to be seen of them. That's the key. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou dost thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. That's exactly what the word hypocrite means, pretender. These are the actors. You think there's any actors here this morning pretending to love Jesus? These are the pretenders. They, in the synagogue, they blow on the street corner. They blow trumpets. Look at me. Look what I'm doing. Look at my righteous act, my righteous alms. He says, but when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret. Here it is. And thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. He said, you need to have good giving. And good giving is not all about me. It's all about him. It's New Testament Christianity is not an act. It's not a performance. There are no bright lights. There's no big microphone. There's no big paycheck. It's not look at me. It's not look what I'm doing. I saw something this morning. Nick does a wonderful job in that sign out front. He just kind of runs things by me and I didn't catch something this last. And it's not, that's not evil, but it's not what I want. It says, American Revival, May the 7th. And then the next slide says, featuring Chuck Harding. Well, it's true, but we're featuring Jesus Christ. Amen. The preacher, evangelist, is Chuck Harding. So I'm going to have him change that this week. It's not his fault. It slipped by me. Before the choir warmed up downstairs, maybe it didn't sound like we warmed up downstairs this morning, but we did. We're warming up downstairs, and the question is always, are we going to be the first song, or are we going to plug us into the service? And I said, we're going to be the first song. And Josh looks over at me, and big grin in his face. He's laughing. He says, yeah, we're the first act. That's exactly what I'm talking about. That's what Jesus is condemning. There's no act to it. There's no performance to it. Look at me. I just, come on. That is not what it's about. You know why this church is growing? The Bible is preached. People are striving to live the Bible. That's it. You can grow with music. No, let me reword that. You can swell with music. You aren't going to grow. You're not going to hang on to them because you're only going to keep them with what you got them with. And you're going to have to keep getting better and you're going to end up having to be better than Hollywood or Nashville and everything else. But Bible preaching and Bible teaching, that is where it's at. We are an anomaly. I know you don't realize, we that are in it, we don't realize it, but I travel enough, preach other places. They talk about the miracle of Kinross all over the state of Michigan. And I'm not, that's not baloney. It's because we're not in the city. We're up here in the middle of nowhere, and we have these hundreds of people that gather together. You know why? They have an appetite for and love the Word of God. We exalt Jesus Christ. The truth is, we could have a Willie Nelson concert here next Sunday afternoon, and this place would be packed. I mean, there wouldn't be any room in the grounds on all 40 acres, 20 acres. There wouldn't be any kind of room for that at all. But that's not a church. And boy, I've already preached through that enough. I don't want to go there. But know this, our giving must be good giving. Not about you, and it's not about me. If you can get a burden, the most accurate number I found, Kinross Township, Kinross, Michigan, 6,192 people. That's a lot of people out there in the woods, you know that? 6,192 and 92. We got to go get them. I'm getting ahead of myself, but we're going to have a June blitz. We're going to knock on every door in Kinross. Man, we got to go get them. Because it's more than just facility. We've got to fulfill that great commission for the glory of God. In exegeting Matthew chapter 6, it is not show business. That is not where it's at. Verse 5, go there. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the, there's the word again, hypocrites, the actors are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be, here's the key word, seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. So it's good giving, it's good praying, not Phariseeism. If you have to tell people how spiritual you are, you're not spiritual. Man, if you have to turn on a neon sign so that they can, oh, Pastor Rader's praying now, man, you must not walk with God. If you think coming to church on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock, 6 o'clock Sunday night, and Wednesday night at 7 o'clock for prayer meeting, if you think that's enough to be spiritual, you are woefully mistaken. Right. Man, those are baby steps. Amen. That's just the beginning. That's obeying the command of God of not forsaking ourselves together. But the truth is, we don't serve God to impress other people with how spiritual we are. Man, that is wrong. So when you do your serving, it's about good serving. It's about good giving. You do it in secret, God is going to bless you. You do your praying in the prayer closet, God is going to bless you. Verse 6 says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. There's that word again. And thy Father, which seeth thee in secret, shall reward thee openly. And he goes on and says, it's not ritualism. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions. That is ritualism. That's repeating the same phrases over and over again. That's repeating something that somebody else tells you to pray and it's not from your heart. Or reading a prayer out of a book and it's not from your heart. Again, it comes back to the heart thing. It's more than just outward adultery. It's the heart thing if you commit adultery in your heart. Man, it's more than just murdering somebody with a gun. It's if you hate somebody in your heart, it's that heart thing. By the way, the same is true with salvation. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation, and with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. It is a heart thing. Jesus says, the Decalogue, that schoolmaster, points us to God, but it's got to go far further than that. And by the way, you'll never fulfill the law. That's why in this preaching on Matthew in chapter 5, he said, I came to fulfill the law, not to destroy it. The law is baby steps. It brings you to Christ. So the secret is good giving. The secret is good praying. It's not a show. Look at the next passage of scripture. Skip on down to verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites or the actors of a sad countenance. They want everybody to know they're fasting because they're so spiritual. They got to tell people. For they disfigure their faces and that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. It's not show business. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou may appear unto men to fast, that thou may appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father, which is in secret. There's that word for the third time. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Fasting's good. Fasting, biblical fasting, is for people that are serious about prayer. Amen. It's another step. Thank God for people that fast. We could all fast a little bit more. And I'm not telling you to starve yourself. I'm not saying that. What do they call someone that has that disease? Bulimic? Is that what it is? Yeah. You may not know this confession right now. I am a bulimic. But I eat like mad so nobody will understand. Nobody will see it. Nobody will know. Does that make sense? That was a joke. It was a poor one. It didn't come out right. But it was. I'm no bulimic. There's nothing bulimic. I'm the opposite. Believe you me. But he said, forget about that. What you think is that spiritual look. How about living it? How about putting it in shoe leather? Where God gets the glory, not me first. Not bowing down to the altar of me first. Not about that at all. Let's move ahead. Move up to verse 19. Verse 19. So you don't serve as an act to impress other people with how spiritual you are in your giving. You don't pray to impress other people how spiritual you are in your prayer time. Good giving, good praying, good fasting, and I want you to see this through verse, the rest of the chapter, actually, you could summarize it, good God. It's about God getting our hearts. He kind of, like a preacher does sometimes, Jesus is preaching, he kind of goes back to that giving thing again. Verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's where all your attention is going to be. Whatever it is you treasure, that's your idol, that's where you're at. For the light of the body is the eye. And if thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. I want to read on because it all falls together. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. You've heard me preach this text before, if you've been coming here for a length of time. That word mammon is the god, the idol of gain. You never have enough silver. You never have enough gold. You never have enough of a nest egg. You always got to have more. There's always something else that is first place in your life. You're never going to be rich because you never think you're rich. Although you have a whole lot more than you had 10 years ago, and God has blessed you. You think you're not rich. You got to have something more and something more. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Here is what Jesus is saying here in his preaching. He said, God is good. He said, you lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. All right. Let me just be real practical here for a couple of minutes. And then we're going to get back to what Jesus said here. This is where we are at Fundamental Baptist Church right now. Last Sunday night, I shared with you, we've gone over this, the men, we get together, the deacons, we get together, we talk on this, we're working on this, God has provided for us. If you walk around the buildings, in the last 2 years, we have made tremendous capital gains. Carpets, kitchen, floors, nicer lights, brand new exit lights. Just think one thing after, the more you look, the more you see. The trouble with me is I'm going ahead all the time. Once I get past it, I never look in my rearview mirror. You know, instead of stopping and smelling the flowers, sometimes it's go, go, go. We got more to do. We got more people to reach. But God is blessed. And along with that, in our reserve fund, we've been able to incrementally set aside money. Some's come from outside sources. Some has come from live streamers. Some has come from, obviously, the people right here in this church. I told you last week what we had in our reserve fund. We got to build. We got to build, and I know that Jesus is coming soon. I do know, you read about the digital currency, whether it happens in July, the Federal Reserve says they're debuting it. No matter how quick it happens, it doesn't matter. That's the direction that everything's going. That the world is being prepared for the Antichrist. We know if you're someone that has money and places, you know, with inflation alone, you have lost 20% in the last 2 years. You didn't get to spend the money, it's gone. You know, we as a people, now I am not a fan, I'm at two people's homes yesterday. Both of them brought up the same thing. One of them, maybe both of them, are here this morning. I sat at the kitchen table. I went to be a blessing to them. They were not here last week, and both of them said this. These are my words. I'll summarize. Pastor, I got some money. What should I do? Give me some advice. I'm saying, and it was kind of spooky. The word spooky, when I got to the second person, was spooky is not the right word. It's like God, you know, because money's the last thing I talk. We haven't taken an offering here since March of 2021. Money's the last thing that really gets preached here. And I'm thinking, and when the second person said it, I thought, wow, and I told her a couple times. I told her even before I left, and I know she'll agree with this. I did not stop here for this. I want you to know that, all right? After I shared last Sunday night, money was already in the mail, and it was here Monday morning. This week, we're going to be meeting with a contractor. There's so much that needs to be done. I know of other monies that are coming in. Debbie and I have talked about some retirement money that we got set aside. You know what? The last thing I want to have happen, you got to prepare for a little bit for the future. But how much do you need? You say, well, I need this, I need that. Listen, no matter how much you prepare, it's not going to be enough. God is the good one. Good. We read here in the latter part of chapter 6, God's the one that's going to ultimately take care of you if you serve him. That's what he says. There's that last secret. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33, right here in this text. And all these things shall be added unto you. The food, the raiment. Man, I'm not supposed to be here to build up money for the next generation. I'm here to reach this generation and prepare the next generation. That's why God gives us a job. You read that in the pastoral epistles, that we might be a blessing to other people. That's the purpose. God takes care of us. So I'm saying that to say this, and then I'm going to read a little bit more here in Matthew and chapter 6. I'm praying, we got to build, we need to extend the auditorium, elevator, another entry, another foyer, nursery, another entry, another foyer, drive under. You say, man, could we get it all done in one summer? After yesterday, I'm starting to think so. God is not sure. Now, all I'm asking you, if you're a member here, be involved in this. Pray with me what God would have you to do. And it might be this much, and that's the two mites that the widow gave. That's exactly what God's looking for. For the other person, that's nothing. Pray about what you could do sacrificially. And if you would let me know, we know how to prepare with contractors and those that are helping us out. I'm excited. I've been kind of wringing my hands all week, you know, because every day that ticks by, man, that's a day we could have done something more. But I'm excited. Would you pray, God, what would you have me to give sacrificially? You know, the very least that Debbie and I can give? The equivalent of that trip to Israel. That's the very least. Because if we were paying to go to Israel, man, that's over $10,000. That's the very least that we can do. God, you see, you can't outgive God. I promise you that. Read Malachi chapter 3, verses 8. You will never outgive God. And if you just step out in faith just a little bit, you'll find out how big God is. Go back to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. I'm sorry, go to verse 7, chapter 7. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Boy, if you're here without Christ, you will, just like you will never outgive God, you will never be good enough to go to God's heaven. None of us are. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. You don't merit God's heaven, but you'll get it by grace if you'll make it a heart thing this morning. As a child of God, don't build your life and your family's future on the shifting sands of this culture. Build it on the rock, Christ Jesus. Can I say this? I get to pastor this church. I know I'm going to go to heaven. I get to live forever because of Jesus. Amen. And I get to live the victorious life today because of Jesus. If I just add a little bit of faith to that, what God could do. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. I've shared my vision. A Baptist tabernacle that seats 800 people. Kinross is the high ground of Chippewa and Mackinac and Luce County. That's pretty exciting. Not that that has to fit into it, but here we are, the city that's set on a hill. Last Sunday night, I preached out of Nehemiah. And it got to the place, the people had a mind to work, they sacrificed, it was a struggle, it wasn't easy, but they strengthened their hands, and the wall was built in 52 days. And even Sanballat and Tobiah and all of the outsiders that were anti-Nehemiah and anti-rebuilding the walls, they had to admit, they had to say, that is a work of God. That's what I want the people of Chippewa County, Mackinac County, and Luce County to say. Man, I don't much like that loudmouth Pastor Raider over there. He's an ignorant man, but I got to tell you this. That is a work of God. It's not show business. It's not pretending to be something we aren't. It's good giving, good praying, good fasting, and a good God. That fourth secret: seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Raider, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you good news from the Good Book.